Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot, and the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello and welcome in a Thursday edition of the program. So glad to have you with us. Don't forget we do this show each weekday live at 11 a.m. here on the Big X. And if you missed the live program and you're a fan of the Indiana Hoosiers and you want to know what's going on in Southern Indiana sports, you can always find us as a podcast as well. We're available on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, and really anywhere you may listen to podcasts. All you got to do is search for the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You can subscribe and keep up with everything going on. And we're glad to have you with us today. Absolutely a loaded show. I'm going to tell you all the great guests set to join us in this hour today. But first, Indiana may be headed to the Fiesta Bowl, maybe a matchup against USC. We'll find out officially on Sunday, but things I do think look really good for Indiana to get a New Year's Six Bowl. I think there's been five or six different predictions from national writers that feel strongly it could be Indiana and USC in the Fiesta Bowl, so we'll see how it plays out, but that obviously would be a big opportunity for IU football based on the season they've had, which has been amazing. And now the question becomes, once we know officially what's going to happen on Sunday, how does the health, as this Indiana team recovers from a COVID outbreak, how are they ready to go for bowl action coming up, it looks like, after the first of the year? So the regular season's over. I know everybody's a little bummed it came to a close with the Purdue game canceled and then the East-West week matchup again against Purdue canceled for a second time. But it does look like some exciting opportunities ahead for this Indiana football team. Let's take a look at today's show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we're going to start here in just a few moments with a writer that I really enjoy reading and following from ESPN. He's a college basketball analyst for ESPN. His name's John Gassaway. I'm sure you've probably heard of him and read his stuff. And with John, we're going to talk IU basketball to start, get his thoughts on the Hoosiers so far with a 4-2 record this season. We'll talk a little bit about Trace Jackson Davis, maybe some other standout players that he thinks Indiana has on the roster for this year. And then we'll get into the Big Ten as a whole and his thoughts on how good this Big Ten conference is with what we've seen so far this season and maybe who he thinks could make the most noise coming out of the Big Ten a little bit later this year. Segment two, Alex Bozich, who's always with us on Thursdays to talk IU basketball. He'll join us today. We'll start to get ready for IU Butler on Saturday. And, of course, we've got to talk about the graduate transfer, the addition of Parker Stewart to the Hoosiers. When's he going to join the team? Could it be a second semester addition? Is it going to be for next year? We'll talk that and more with Alex when he joins us today. We'll also fit in a little recruiting as well with Alex today. And then in our final segment, we're going to go across the river. Louisville male basketball coach Tim Hayworth is going to join us. He's got a player. He's a young one, 2023, so a current sophomore in high school. His name's Caleb Glenn, and I know so many of you follow recruiting very closely. This guy's right in our backyard across the river in Louisville, and he is an outstanding player. Indiana, very interested. Other high major schools, the locals starting to really get involved in his recruitment, so we'll talk that. And I'm curious, with Coach Hayworth, is JCPS, or are they going to play high school basketball this season? Things are rolling. In Southern Indiana, there have been a few incidents, a few teams that have had to pause so far, but are the Louisville public schools going to play high school basketball in January when the rest of the state of Kentucky is going to start? We'll cover that and more today. That's the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany with the hustle and bustle of shopping, decorating, wrapping presents, etc. Don't forget your Christmas ham or turkey for the big day You can order online or call Honey Baked Ham Store, located at 3602 Northgate Court, Suite 23 in New Albany. They'll be happy to take care of all your holiday needs, so you don't have to worry about Christmas dinner. Call Honey Baked Ham at New Albany, 812-941-9426. So we get going with a bang here in this opening segment, brought to you by Zaxby's, with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany, with ESPN NCAA basketball analyst John Gassaway, who joins the program right now. And John, first off, really appreciate your time and being with us to talk the Hoosiers and Big Ten today.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Your thoughts, I'm curious, as we start this conversation, generally on this Indiana team so far this season that's 4-2. There have been some good moments. I think for Indiana fans, there have been some concerning moments, specifically that Texas loss in the Maui Invitational and by the margin that that loss happened. But your thoughts overall so far with what you've seen on the Hoosiers this season?
Yeah, you said it well. There have been some good moments, and for me, one completely baffling 40-minute moment. We don't know exactly what to make of that that landslide against the Longhorns. Maybe Texas is going to turn out to be a national championship contender this year, and you shrug that off, but that was wild coming when it did so early in the season. And otherwise, everything has been impressive and as expected. You know, this is a team that came within a basket of winning at Florida State, and that's certainly going to continue to look good, I dare say, all season long. So I'm glad I bought my Trace Jackson Davis stock early. last week I was asked, you know, what player has surprised me so far this season? And I said Jackson Davis, and considering I already had him ranked, you know, way up in my preseason top 25 players, to say he's been even better than I expected is saying something. But that is exactly the case. He's been a one-man wrecking crew, and in an alternate universe where there was no player called Luca Garza, I think we'd be saying a thing or two even more about Jackson Davis nationally. He's been sensational.
John, I was going to ask you where you thought Trace stacked up in the world of the Big Ten this season with so many good individual players, and I think maybe you just answered that. But he's right up there behind Luca Garza maybe on your list of Big Ten guys, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, throw a stick at this year's All-Big Ten team, and you might be looking at a legit All-American team. When you're talking about Trace, you're talking about Garza. Io DeSumo is going to continue to get love, you know, rightly. You know, talking about Carr at Minnesota, I mean, it's an incredibly deep conference. And, you know, Trace Jackson Davis is right there with those guys. He's a little different than the rest in that, you know, he's the man for Indiana on offense. He's the featured scorer, but he's also a key part of the defense. And I'll go way out on a limb here with a crazy statement and say that I think that Indiana, if you take away Trace Jackson Davis, I think that team looks more different than any other Big Ten team if you take away one player. At least Iowa's got, you know, great three-point shooters. If you take away Garza, Illinois has some talented freshmen and the big guy Coburn, if you take away Io. But if you take away Trace Jackson Davis from Indiana, I think you're looking at a much different quantity. And it's a good thing that they've got him in the lineup, because he's been tremendous.
John Gassaway of ESPN, our guest to open the Thursday show. John, looking at Indiana, in addition to Trace Jackson Davis, is there a player that has caught your eye so far this season that might be able to step up and help him lead this Indiana team into a very tough conference?
Well, I'm going to show a preference for giving equal time to defense and say that while he's not going to, while he's not going to score 30 in any given game, I've been impressed by what I've seen from Race Thompson, particularly on defense, although certainly he's making his shots on offense as well. He's defending the rim. He's taking care of the defensive glass, and he's showing me some good things on D. for the Hoosiers. So while I stand by my original statement of, you know, Trace Jackson Davis is a highly and unusually important player for his team in Big Ten terms, I do like what I've seen so far from Thompson as well.
John, let's talk about the conference as a whole. I think everyone agreed across the board that this is going to be a deep conference this year, a conference that could send a great number of teams to the NCAA tournament later this season. After, and we've had some conference games. Purdue played and got a big win over Ohio State last night. Michigan defeated Penn State on Sunday. That was the first conference game. But with what you've seen from the handful of conference games so far, and there have been others in addition to what I mentioned, and, of course, the ACC Big Ten Challenge in the books, well, I guess almost in the books, Wisconsin and Louisville coming up in a rescheduled affair on Saturday. But your thoughts on the conference now that we're into the season, now that we've had some primetime matchups, and now that we're starting to get into some conference games?
Yeah, my thought is the Big Ten is as ridiculously strong as we expected in the preseason so far. They rampaged on the first night of the ACC Big Ten Challenge. They were set back on their heels on the second night and eked out a win. But when you're talking about a conference that at times this year, and I believe, again, this morning, this changes day by day, but a league that has 9 teams in the top 30 at KenPom.com, you're talking about a ridiculously deep and strong league. I'll wander off the reservation a little bit here and shine light at a team outside the usual suspects and say, you know, what about Rutgers? They're undefeated. They, you know, a bit like Indiana, you know, they've got a strong defense. They will be hosting Illinois this weekend at home. There's a solid chance that they'll win that game. And if they do, you know, you're looking at an undefeated team with a win over Illinois to its credit. It's been remarkable what we've seen, you know, from this historically struggling program over the last two seasons. And they're just part of the swim in the Big Ten this year. It's going to be a very strong year, and knock on wood, there'll be a full-sized NCAA tournament in 2021, and if so, you're going to see a huge contingent and strong one from the Big Ten this year.
John, I think I remember your Big Ten previews and what was published and many others where they have Indiana as well. Again, now that, and I know it's still early, I know that we're not even getting to conference play in most cases yet, but do you have any thoughts on where you see Indiana stacking up now that you've seen these teams and players on the court?
Yeah, I see Indiana right in the mix in a very strong year for the Big Ten title. I would say they are a step down from what the top contenders will be. When you're talking about an Iowa team that is being shown in mock brackets, and I know it's very early, but for what it's worth, shown in mock brackets right now as a number one seed. Certainly, you've got to look at the Hawkeyes as a true Big Ten title contender. We think that Wisconsin and Michigan State might be on that same tier. Illinois is blowing hot and cold. They seem to be alternately, you know, mighty and impressive, and then they lose a game. But maybe they're up there. And then right along in that same mix, I am a Hoosier optimist. I don't think that the Texas game was as representative as the one possession contest that IU played at Florida State. I really do think Indiana is going to be about that good this season, and they'll have something to say in the Big Ten race, along with usual suspects like Iowa, Michigan State, Wisconsin, and the rest.
John Gassaway of ESPN, NCAA basketball analyst, and you can follow him at John Gassaway on Twitter. College hoops trying to play through this pandemic, and there have been some cancellations and postponements so far. We've seen some really big games get canceled or moved around, including the event this weekend that Kentucky is going to play, and their opponent changed to kind of align up, the press release said, more with the testing protocols from each school and each conference to align the opponents more similar in those protocols. Do you think when we get to conference play fully, I guess after we get through Christmas and into the new year, and it's basically conference play from that point forward with everybody on the same page in each conference, especially the power conferences. Do you think that we'll get away from some of the postponements and cancellations? I guess my question is, do you think we have a chance at a more normal season when it gets to conference play? Or do you expect some of this craziness and games being moved around and games being added to continue really through the rest of the year till we get to the tournament?
Yeah, the great unknown here is, you know, what happens in the real world and the far more important world. There are reports that there's more vaccine in the vials than we thought. That would be great. And obviously, you know, if we're talking about college basketball and college basketball players, you know, I'm a non-essential type. I would argue the college basketball players are relatively non-essential compared to healthcare workers and sure. the elderly. We don't know how fast a vaccine will circulate to totally non-essential types like me and like the players that I write about. But if by some chance it were to get there earlier than we thought, that would certainly change everything. In the meantime, it's going to be the case where maybe, you know, or not maybe, so far we have seen roughly 1 out of 5 to 1 out of 10 games be canceled pretty dependably. And that sounds statistically, that sounds like, well, hey, you can live with that. But that is going to hit, you know, some big games that you would be talking about and caring about. So the Big East has been hit harder than the Big Ten. And as a guy who tracks every possession in every conference, every major conference, I'm really conscious of this. I'm like, wow, the Big East is struggling to get off the ground here. That is just going to be the cost of doing business this year until we get to a more normal space. And clearly we're not there yet. My fingers are crossed again for a full-size 68-team NCAA tournament. I can make a lot of sacrifices to get there in terms of what we see between now and then. And with hope, we will get to see that, because that would be glorious.
Absolutely. John Gassaway, ESPN. John, thanks so much for the time today, and keep up the great work. Really enjoy your stuff.
Thank you so much, and thanks for having me.
Definitely. John Gassaway getting us started today of ESPN. His thoughts on Indiana and the Big Ten Conference, very interesting. We'll get ready and head to our first commercial break. When we come back, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, our regular Thursday guest, is with us. We'll talk about the Hoosiers and Butler coming up on Saturday, part of the Crossroads Classic. And a quick update on Romeo Langford. He met with the media last week, saw a story from our partner, the News and Tribune, earlier today, where he expects to be out until maybe February or so as he recovers really from a couple different injuries, including a surgery on the wrist in the offseason. We'll have more on Romeo coming up here in future days on the program. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Segment 2, Alex Bozich inside the hall with us. As always on Thursdays, we talk all things IU basketball in this segment. And Alex, last night, Butler was defeated on the road at Villanova, and that's a good sign that Saturday's IU-Butler game, part of the Crossroads Classic, will take place.
Yeah, assuming everybody comes out of that game with their health intact and good to go. I know Butler has had a couple injuries, so they're a little bit shorthanded. But in terms of Saturday's game, I think at this point it's just about getting through all of the COVID-19 protocols, the testing that will take place in the next couple of days, and crossing your fingers that everything will be all right. But, yeah, I think it's a good sign that Butler, I think, played just its second game of the season last night, which is hard to believe. Indiana's already played 6, and Butler just gets in game number 2. And what a tough opportunity for them to kind of get ramped back up, having to go to Villanova, one of the better teams in the country, one of the best coach teams under Jay Wright. And they had a tough time at it. I think they were really in the game early in the second half, but Villanova pulled away, and then you hope everything from an injury perspective with Butler is okay going into Saturday, because I'd like to see a high-level competitive game, if at all possible.
Alex, Butler opened its season back on November 25th with a 66-62 win over Western Michigan. And since that point, they had four consecutive games postponed: Eastern Illinois, Northern Kentucky, Kansas State, and then St. John's. So last night was supposed to be, what, game number six for Butler as well, but instead it's game number two. So not a lot to go on this season off of Butler if you're just looking at film and things from last night in the Western Michigan game. But your thoughts on the Butler team that Indiana's scheduled to face on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it is going to come down to, you know, the health of Aaron Thompson. He's obviously one of their best players, guard. I think he went down late in the game with a knee injury. My understanding is that they had another player, Bryce Golden, their big man. I think he's a 6'9" junior. He's been out as well to this point. So we'll see on both of those players. Those are really two of Butler's most important players with big question marks heading into Saturday. But they're probably pretty similar just in terms of the level of play to Providence. You look at the KenPom ratings for Butler and Providence right now, they're both just about in the same area in the 60s. Butler last season was a solid team, probably going to make the NCAA tournament. They finished 22-9, so they were kind of right there with in the middle of the thick of things in the Big East. The thing I look at them, it kind of stands out from their style of play. Indiana plays really slow, but Butler, even more deliberate. Last year, they ranked 341st in terms of adjusted tempo on KenPom. So possessions are going to be at a premium. I think it's really a game where Indiana's going to have to take care of the ball and maximize its opportunities. Butler is one of those teams that can defend pretty well, and they like to take care of the ball and slow down the pace. So it's not a game where you can try to speed things up and get ahead of yourself and have much success. So for Indiana, I think it's going to be a good challenge heading into Big Ten play. But like I said, I think a lot of it's going to come down to whether or not Butler has those two players. If they're unavailable, they're really shorthanded. I'm not sure if you saw Greg Doyle's tweet late last night, his column, but LaVall Jordan kind of made a comment that was a little bit strange in terms of just would Butler be able to play Saturday. And at this point, I would think that would be more in reference to just the shorthandedness of their roster and guys being injured rather than the COVID problems. But I do know that they were hit pretty hard with COVID. And for them, it's obviously unfortunate to have to just ramp back up right into playing Villanova and Indiana in their first two games. After that, I think they'll play Providence and Big East play, like, back-to-back games. So they really didn't get any chance to ramp up. And you consider the fact that they're coming off this long break. They've got two of their better players injured, and they're having to play a tough schedule. This thing could get out of hand for them pretty quickly. And so you just hope that they're going to be able to put up a fight. But, you know, looking at things on paper right now, it's looking like a matchup that Indiana should be favored in and should have a really good chance to be successful in.
Alex Bozich inside the hall, our guest. We're talking IU basketball. Shooting woes for this Indiana team. That's obviously been a concerning point so far this season. It got better in Sunday's game, and of course that came and was Indiana's final pay game, I hate to say cupcake game, but essentially that's what it was, with Tennessee Tech and then of course North Alabama on Sunday. But with that said, the shooting has continued, at least against the major opponents, to be a concern. And we know, we were just talking about the Big Ten Conference with John Gassaway in the last segment, we know the Big Ten's going to be tough. How concerned are you with what you've seen from this Indiana team so far, shooting-wise, knowing what's coming up in the Big Ten?
Well, I mean, I think from a defensive perspective, I think there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic about this team. Right now, I think they're, in terms of defense, they're, you know, top 15 nationally. They're kind of checking all the boxes. I think a lot of it's going to come down to whether they can make shots with any consistency. And hopefully that North Alabama game, although it's an inferior opponent, gives them some confidence, particularly a guy like Armon Franklin knocking down some shots. But, I mean, ultimately, you know, it's I feel like we keep coming back to the same things with this team, Matt. But I think this team's ceiling is going to be determined by its ability to knock down some timely perimeter shots to keep the force placed. How well Trace Jackson Davis plays on a game-in, game-out basis. I mean, when you have a star of his caliber, you want to continue to maximize his production as much as possible. And then defense and taking care of the ball, rebounding. I mean, the basic, simple things that Archie Miller emphasizes, can Indiana do those things on a consistent basis? I think that's really going to determine their place in the Big Ten standings. I mean, I look at the league right now, and the top four teams to me are pretty well set. Just going into conference play, Michigan State, whatever order you want to put them in, Michigan State, Wisconsin, Iowa, and Illinois, to me, those are the four best teams. Where Indiana fits in beyond that is going to be largely determined on how they stack up against teams like Ohio State, Michigan, Rutgers, those middle-of-the-pack teams, Purdue. And there's going to be very small margins for error in this league. The games are going to be competitive. Home court advantage is gone, essentially. I mean, there's the familiarity of playing on your – there's no real home court advantage that we're used to seeing. And so it's going to come down to I think, a lot of close games. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch conference season. But Indiana's going to have to make some timely perimeter shots. They did it against North Alabama. That's not really the caliber of competition that we're going to see the rest of the way. But I think there's reasons for optimism. If this team can continue to defend at the level that it's at right now, it's going to be in a lot of games. So I think it's an exciting time for IU fans getting back into the conference play. This is what everybody kind of circles on the calendar. This is what we look forward to. Last year was, you know, a really strong year in the league. I think this year is just going to be kind of the same thing. It's going to be a lot of great games, a lot of close games, and there's going to be no nights where you can come up, you know, come and bring your C or D effort and get wins. That's the most, that's the thing that stands out to me the most is you're going to have to play well to win any game. And that goes, that even includes teams like Nebraska and Northwestern. I mean, they're going to have some nights where they're playing well and they're going to beat some teams that you don't expect them to beat.
Speaking of conference games getting started, Purdue at home last night had a nice win over Ohio State, 67-60. So the conference games beginning. Illinois was impressive, a 92-65 win on Tuesday in their Big Ten opener. And so this conference, as we see what's gone on so far in non-conference games, and now as we start to get to conference matchups, it is what we thought it's was going to be. Very tough, led by very talented players, a great field of coaches, as we know, and bring on the conference games.
Yeah, I mean, this is what the season is. I mean, the non-conference, there was two approaches you could have taken this year. There's what a team like Michigan did, where they kind of took it easy and racked up wins, built confidence, got some of their younger players some experience, played all home games. And then there's what Indiana did. I mean, they played an ambitious schedule. I think it's going to help them, particularly early in conference play. A lot of these teams that they're going to play haven't played nearly the level of competition that Indiana played. But there's it's coming fast. I mean, the fact that the season started later than usual and that it's all – I mean, Michigan played its first Big Ten game over the weekend on December 23rd. I mean, we're one more game away from being right in the thick of things. So the thing I wonder from an IU perspective is in regards to their depth, they've got a lot of young players who haven't really gotten that opportunity to kind of be eased into the situation. And with Joey Brunk out, you look at the front court, it's a little bit thin. And the back court, guys like Trey Galloway and Christian Lander having to play big roles. And then obviously the unknown, the other thing that I kind of look at is maybe intriguing as we move along here is, you know, Parker Stewart, his addition, is he going to be a guy that's going to play this season? What impact can he bring? I think there's a lot of questions outstanding, but you know, it's good that conference play is here. I feel like a lot of years when teams play, you know, six or seven bye games, it kind of gets redundant. And I think you learn a lot more about playing quality teams, and we're going to here, you know, the next two or three weeks, Matt, we're going to learn a ton about this Indiana team.
Alex Bozich inside the hall. My guest, Parker Stewart, was where I was headed next. He committed to Indiana earlier this week, a graduate transfer, and obviously the opportunity could be there for him to join Indiana later this season once he gets back into the swing of things, gets back in shape. I'm not sure that any of us know if that will happen or not, but the more I hear about him, the more I read about Parker Stewart, his addition, his shooting ability, scoring ability, seems to fit right in with a big need of this team.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what the plan is. I haven't heard anything firm. I've asked around. I saw Parker Stewart said it was, he told Jeff Borzello of ESPN.com that it's up in the air in terms of him playing. There's a lot to consider here, a lot to unpack from just whether it makes sense for him to play. But, you know, with the unfortunate passing of his father last month, that's, you know, that only happened a month ago. There's obviously an emotional toll that's been taken on him. He's had to make decisions here quickly. You also look at the fact that he's never played in the system with Indiana, but it's not like they've played a ton of games. They've played six. So if they can get him some practice time and get him some reps, I think he's a guy that can help. And the other thing you look at is in terms of this season is not being counted in terms of using a year of eligibility. I mean, the expectation is everybody's going to be able, like seniors this year are going to be able to come back, and it kind of counts as a free year. So if you can get him integrated, if you can bring him on and he wants to play, I don't really see the downside in doing it. I've watched a lot of film on him the last couple of days, and the thing that stands out to me about him is just how quickly he gets off his shot and how confident he is as a shooter. There's not a guy in Indiana's roster right now that gets the shot off as quickly from the perimeter as he did. He did it as a freshman in the ACC against some really good teams. Now, he's been on bad teams, teams that haven't won a lot, but I don't think you can put that all on him. I think you surround him with some really good players in Indiana. I think he's a guy, even if he's coming off the bench, which I think that if he does play is probably going to be where he slots in, at least initially. He's a guy that can bring offense off the bench. I think he's going to be an upgrade over a guy like Trey Galloway, just from the standpoint of he's going to be able to shoot from the perimeter and help space the floor. And the thing that has really concerned a lot of people about this Indiana team going into conference play is, you know, is it going to be the same as the Romeo Juwan season where everybody just game plans to stop Trace and Indiana has nothing to counter and no shooters around the perimeter? I think you have a chance to add this guy and get him out there and get him some looks. I think it can really be a game changer for Indiana. So we'll see how it all plays out. I don't think anything's been fully determined yet at this point whether or not he'll play. I mean, he's not even listed on the team's official roster yet, so I think it would be a couple weeks at least before he would even have a chance to suit up and get on the court.
Alex Bozich inside the hall. Alex, real quick, recruiting, maybe the situation aided a little bit by the commitment from Parker, but Aminu Muhammad is up next, and I was talking with Mike Pegram earlier in the week. There just isn't a lot of hardline information out there on what he's going to do. His guardian, as you well know, handling the full recruitment, and really there's no edge to any school, at least publicly, and I'm not sure how the recruiting guys would even forecast this one.
Yeah, I mean, this is it's a tough situation to forecast. You know, most of what's the conjecture out there to this point has been Georgia's in a really good spot. Wouldn't surprise me if he ended up there, just kind of based on the fact that they can sell him on the fact that, you know, he's maybe similar as a player in terms of what they've produced under you know, Tom Crean with, you know, Dwayne Wade, Victor Oladipo, Anthony Edwards, that type of player. That's probably what they're selling him on. Indiana, I mean, they're obviously in there, but it's a weird list of schools. I think Georgetown, Kansas State are kind of the other ones that have been mentioned a lot along with Indiana. You don't hear a lot. You know, we've talked to his guardian multiple times over the last couple of months, but it's just a situation where I think it'd be great if Indiana got him, obviously, but at this point my expectations are fairly low just in terms of him coming to Bloomington. It doesn't seem like there's a ton of momentum for that. I could be wrong, but we'll see. I mean, the decision's coming up. I think there's still a chance that his guardian has mentioned that, you know, as long as the season continues in Missouri, that he intends to finish it out. But if things get shut down, there's a chance he could be an early enrollee. That may come down to which schools have scholarships and a spot for him as well. But right now, I think the most, the thing I've heard the most is that Georgia's in a really good spot right now with Muhammad.
Alex Bozich inside the hall. Alex, great to catch up again. We'll talk with you next week.
All right. Thank you, Matt.
We'll head to a commercial break. Did want to mention that yesterday, IU Southeast announced that in conjunction with the other regional campuses of the IU institution, they are pausing all athletics effective Saturday for 1 month, and competitions will not resume until at least February 1st. So there's a lot of college basketball there, a lot of local guys playing for not just IU Southeast, but some of the other regional campuses. You got Kokomo, you got IU East over in Richmond, and others as well. But they will pause basketball and pause sports with competitions at least until February 1st. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Louisville Male coach Tim Hayworth. We're going to talk with him about a name I think you want to know across the river, a 2023 standout, Caleb Glenn. We'll talk with him about that. He's hearing from Indiana, many other schools as well. Stay with us for that conversation. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach, who got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back, final segment of this Thursday program. You know, we love our high school basketball here on the Hoosier Report. We love following the local players and teams here in Southern Indiana. But there's a player across the river in Louisville that is outstanding, building an outstanding career, and has a chance, I think, to be the next big thing coming out of the city of Louisville. His name's Caleb Glenn. He's a member of the 2023 class. He's already got a number of Division I scholarship offers, and I really feel like he's just scratching the surface on how good he could be. So we bring on Tim Hayworth. He's the coach at Male High School in Louisville to talk about Caleb Glenn and his recruitment and what type of player Coach Hayworth thinks he could eventually be by the time he gets through his high school career at Male. First off, Coach, glad to have you with us. Hope you guys get playing basketball over there very soon.
Thanks, Matt. It's good to be on here. And, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to us getting to be able to play. So, so we're just looking at, what we can get done whenever we play. So.
Absolutely. Let's talk about Caleb Glenn. He's a name that I think some have heard of. People have asked me, hey, have you seen or watched this kid play at Male? We hear Indiana, other schools are after him. But to others, I'm not sure that they realize that there's a potential star like this right across the river that Indiana and other schools are interested in. So maybe start off just describing his game a little bit, what you saw him get done against really good competition as a freshman, and what his expectations will be for your team this year as a sophomore.
So last year we finished number one in the state, in Kentucky. And, you know, Caleb was able to average a double-double on that team. And, for him to be able to do that as a freshman with the team that we had, was pretty special. And, Caleb's, he's 6'7", 6'7", 220, 225. And, he plays the wing position. And so he's so strong and so big that he can take smaller guys down into the post. He takes bigger guys off the dribble, and gets to the rim. And, he can shoot the three ball. And so he's just a tremendous player. You know, the thing that separates Caleb is his work ethic and his willingness to just be a team player. Like, it's never about him. It's always about the team and, how good we can be and those kind of things. And he's not playing the game for numbers. He's playing the game, to try to win. And, he goes out and shows that every day. He's very great, just a very coachable kid. He's never going to back talk. He's got a great family. His dad played Division I college football. And, he's very well grounded in what he wants to try to get done. And, he told me he wants to be the best player in the country. He's got that mindset, and he puts in the time to do that. We'll be preseason number one in the state again. And, and the thing is, Caleb will be the leader of that team. You know what I'm saying? So.
Tim Hayworth of Mayo High School, my guest. I think I saw he's 43rd in the country in the latest 247 rankings. He's considered by far and away the top player in the 2023 class in the state of Kentucky. And, Coach, you may be fairly new to Louisville, but you've already had success rebuilding the traditional power in Mayo. But you come from Hopkinsville. You've had some other stops as well. You've seen great players come from Louisville, and you've seen great players come from the state of Kentucky, and you're very up-to-date with what's going on in the high school basketball world across the board. You put him up there, even as a freshman, the season he had a year ago, as one of the best, I think, that you could possibly have.
Yes, and, you know, and I even said that, you know, when I was coaching, I said, Caleb could go down as the best player I've ever coached. And, you know, I don't want to put extra pressure on him, you know, to be great. But, you know, that's the kind of pressure he wants. And the thing is, like, he's got a chance to be really, really special. And, you know, and so, you know, with his work ethic and all those kind of things, you know, he's got a chance to be just, I mean, an absolute beast, you know, at the high school and the collegiate level. I think the sky's the limit for him, you know, and I tell you, my roommate, I played at Murray State University. He went on to the NBA, and, you know, he had the same type of work ethic. And, you know, and you don't ever want to put too much pressure on a kid and say, you're going to be an NBA player, you're going to be this or that. But, you know, if he keeps working with all the tools that he has, and he's got a chance to be a special player.
Talking about Caleb Glenn, he'll be a sophomore at Louisville Mayo this high school basketball season. I think I saw that he had offers from Cincinnati, Iowa State, Western Kentucky, West Virginia. There could be some others as well, but he's definitely getting serious interest now from Louisville and Archie Miller in Indiana. Isn't that right, Coach?
Yes, yes. And, you know, I'm in contact with Indiana every week, and, you know, they've done a really good job thus far of recruiting him, Coach Walsh, Coach Miller. And, you know, so it's been, you know, he's getting a lot of offers and a lot of attention from a lot of different schools right now. And, you know, and so he's blessed to have that.
And, Coach, I think it's worth noting that he played as an eighth grader at Ballard before coming to Mayo as a freshman, and we know the season he had for you a year ago. And, in fact, the last high school basketball game that I saw live and in person that year was your regional championship game at Valley before things, basically everything, got shut down until this season and Indiana started back. But that was a great contest and a great showcase for him as well. But he really has had some experience, even though he's a young player, just going to be a sophomore, because of being able to get that eighth grade year, and that brought him 2 years now of varsity experience.
Right, and you know, we try to play a really tough schedule here at Mayo, and you know, we had a bunch of events lined up for this year, and you know, last year we went to a prep school event down in New Orleans, and we ended up getting third place, but he was able to showcase a lot of stuff against a lot of Division I competition. And, you know, for him to be able to do that at a high level as a freshman, you know, it just speaks volumes of where the kid's at. And, you know, we're going to continue to do that the next 3 years. You know, it's just really scheduling some tough teams and putting him out there, you know, and the rest of the guys, you know, on the biggest stage possible.
Tim Hayworth, Mayo, our coach, is our guest. We're talking about Caleb Glenn, a 2023 prospect that has the potential to be one of the best to come out of the city of Louisville in some time. I asked you at the start, or I said I hoped you played high school basketball this year at the start of our conversation today. The rest of the state, most of the state, is going to begin games on January 4th, but JCPS right now still considering what to happen after the new year. If you guys are to get going, when do you think it could happen, and what would be the schedule for you guys right out of the gate?
You know, it does. I don't really know when it's going to happen, but I would say in January. But, you know, like, we're going to, you know, whenever that time is, we'll be ready. And, you know, the thing is, like, we've got a schedule right now where most of our games are late January and February and March. So, we kind of expected that. So we're, you know, we're super excited about, you know, whenever we are getting a chance to play, to go ahead and, to go out there and showcase what we got.
Coach, I mentioned that your regional championship victory was one of the last high school basketball games I saw until we finally got things going here in Southern Indiana. that same situation that Floyd Central and Silver Creek and some other locals were in. You win a tough-fought regional championship. You're ready, in your case, to move on to the Sweet 16, the state tournament down at Rupp Arena in Lexington. You're probably, I think, maybe widely regarded as the front runner headed to Lexington, and then all of a sudden the rug is pulled out from underneath of you and your players, and obviously the season was postponed and then eventually canceled. I can't even imagine what that was like for you and your team.
Yeah, it was, it was devastating just for the simple fact that, you know, and I know everybody that gets to the state tournament, they feel like they're probably going to win it, but I really felt in my heart that we were really going to win the state title. And, our team was so locked in and we were so good, and I just felt like it was our state championship. And, but like I told the guys, we can't help all the stuff that happened, but, you know, we were preseason number one in the state. We finished unanimous number one in every single poll. And so, we did everything that we were supposed to do to be a state champion. And so, I really consider us a state champion, even though it won't go down, but none of that stuff matters. It's about, what did you do, and we finished number one in the state. So what did you do with the time that you had? And, we did everything we could do.
Absolutely. Tim Hayworth, the coach at Male High School in Louisville. Coach, thanks for the time today. Really intrigued by Caleb Glenn, his game, and look forward to hopefully catching a game here in January or February when you guys are back at it. I think you'll see some Indiana fans over to check out Caleb and his game.
Awesome. Really appreciate you having me on, Matt. And, I would love for everybody to come over to the gym and see him play. He's a special player, a special kid. So we really look forward to getting our season started.
Yeah, Coach, best of luck with that. We'll keep an eye on your team and Caleb, and best of luck this year.
Okay, thanks so much, Matt.
Absolutely. Tim Hayworth of Male, one of the good guys in high school basketball in Kentucky. He's been around the state, had some great years at Hopkinsville in West Kentucky, which is a great athletic program, very successful there, and now at Male, and already got things headed in a great direction there. They had a terrific team a year ago. Really got to see Male and got to know Coach Hayworth in the summer. They come over and play in our June Summer League, which obviously was canceled this past year, but neat to see them match up in the summer, at least against a lot of these Southern Indiana teams, that really got the chance to see Caleb Glenn showcase himself there as well. That's going to wrap things up for this Thursday edition of the program. Great show. John Gassaway of ESPN, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, and of course you just heard from Coach Hayworth at Male on Caleb Glenn. Don't forget, we'll be back with you Friday. We've got a loaded program Friday as well. Matt Weaver is going to join us to talk about IU football. Is it going to be the Fiesta Bowl for the Hoosiers? Also, Dylan Wallace of Sports Illustrated Indiana and Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star. They will all join us on the Friday edition of our program. Don't forget, if you ever miss a show, you can find us as a podcast. We're available on Apple Podcasts and on SoundCloud, and really any place you listen to podcasts. All you got to do is search for the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison and click subscribe. High school basketball coming up this weekend. Jeff Silver Creek on Friday, New Albany Carmel on Saturday. We'll have the broadcast of both of those games on the Big X. Until tomorrow at 11 o'clock, thanks for being with us here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.